All right, we are in Spec Explorer world. Who are you?
I'm Keith Stovey. I'm a test architect on the protocol engineering team where we use Spec Explorer for testing protocols.
Excellent.
And I'm Wolfgang Greiskamp, and I'm the software architect of the Spec Explorer tool.
Perfect. So Spec Explorer, Spec Sharp, let's connect some dots here. What's the relationship?
So Spec Sharp was actually used in a prior version of Spec Explorer. And one of the issues that came up, at least on the production side where I am, is that my testers didn't like learning two languages. You know, they were used to C-sharp, and now they were asked to learn Spec-sharp. Mm. And so one of the things that Wolfgang tried to do in getting this new version is getting it more useful for people in the environment they're used to, Visual Studio, C-sharp.
Excellent. Now, let's talk a little bit about, essentially, the general problem here.
Well, the general problem is we want to derive test suites from models of the software to improve, basically, the quality and productivity of the testing. And we have done that at Microsoft actually since a long time. There are various internal tools. One of them has been started at Microsoft Research. I think it was about 2002 or something like that, and it was based on abstract state machine language. Later, as Keith was saying, the Spec Sharp language was used. And finally, we are now writing models in C-sharp. But the idea is, so you describe the behavior of the software system using a model in a mainstream language today, like C-sharp, and then you have a special way to execute this C-sharp model, which reveals basically all the possible behaviors which you have described. And from that, which you can also visualize in a nice way inside of Visual Studio, from that exploration, that's why it's called Spec Explorer, of the model, Arca Spec, you actually derive the test cases.
Interesting. So we do a lot of talking on Channel 9. I mean, Eric Meyer is like a Channel 9 celebrity, functional programming, pure functional programming, etc. In an imperative language like C-sharp, what were some of the complexities with being able to fully understand what the algorithm is going to do? So can you explain a little bit about some of the challenges of putting this together?
Yeah, so actually I know Eric Meyer since the beginning of the 90s when we both worked in the functional programming community in Europe.
Perfect.
He worked on Haskell, I worked on a language called Opal from the Technical University of Berlin.
All right.
And so the thing is, if you look at modeling software, what turned out, it's different than programming, and how you model, you basically describe the state of your system, so it's stateful, that's different to functional programming, and then you describe rules under which conditions the state is updated.
Okay.
And so that comes actually from the idea of abstract state machines, which was invented by Yuri Gurevich, which is also working in Microsoft Research.
Yeah.
And this thing is inherently stateful, so that's why a functional language is not the best way to write this, the state updates. However, we are using inside of the models heavily link and all this stuff, because if you describe an update on your state, and your state is a complex representation of collections, of sequences, sets, and so on, then you can use link very nicely to describe these updates in a functional style.
Awesome. So link has its tentacles into this as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. So, let's talk a little bit about how it works.
Well, Wolfgang actually alluded to one of the things you'll see a little bit different when you use C-sharp, because, as you said, it's with a library, and he mentioned maps and sequences. And it's better to use higher-level abstractions. The higher the level you can get, the better off. So rather than a simple array where you're fiddling around with the bits, you really want a very high-level concept, like functional programming or link, where you just make simple statements like, give me all the things that satisfy a certain criteria. So then you have these rules. So in modeling, you're basically stating very high-level abstractions and rules. So although you're using C-sharp as the language to do it because it's familiar, it still requires a mind shift change to get to that level of abstraction.
Let's talk about that mind shift change.
So the mind shift change, as Wolfgang says, is steep but short, and I agree with that. It really is quite hard, and in our project, we had two kinds of folks that we brought on board. Some of them were brand new out of college and didn't know anything about testing. They actually had an easier time with this technique than old-time traditional testers. The old-time traditional testers had a much harder time of this idea of creating a model that then generated the test for them. Whereas the newer testers, fresh out of, were more malleable, mm-hmm. more formable. And basically, after a day and a half of training and about a week of experience mentoring with somebody else who used it already, they were able to be productive with this. So it's most the problem that we mostly see is the abstraction level. Too many people in programming are way down at how do I do a loop, mm-hmm. Whereas instead of a simple statement or rule.
So let's take an example here. For example, we are modeling a file system server, like server message block protocol, which we actually did in course of the protocol documentation program. And in order to model the file server, if you describe the state of the file system, you can just use a dictionary, which maps from names of the files to their content. Hmm. So that's a very high level, an abstract way to talk about the file system. When you actually implement the file system, it's indeed much more complex. But if you just want to describe the functionality of the file system on a high level of abstraction, it can be done in a very simple way. And that's the thing which Keith was mentioning, which is a mind shift, no? Mm-hmm. That you actually are able to abstract from your implementation the things which are functional relevant for your testing problem.
Excellent.
That's something which has to be learned.
I mean, and so, of course, the end game here, I mean, is we're trying to enable developers to write better software.
Absolutely.
Software that's more predictable.
Yep.
Right? You're not going to get these strange bugs because, theoretically, you should have figured out sort of a matrix of what can happen.
And the model helps immensely in doing exactly that. That's why it's so powerful. Mm-hmm. And we've seen this over the years with many different tools, and especially Spec Explorer, which is just building the model helps you find lots of issues. And so when testers build these models, they're helping their PM and their developers at the design stage mm-hmm. finding issues. And then using the exploration of the model and very formal methods internally that you don't have to worry about the details about, though it's great research stuff, it systematically explores it. And so that you know, as you said, you're actually getting into all the nooks and crannies. Mm-hmm. So you're seeing all these things, and it gives you a very systematic way to explore all the things that you need to verify when you're testing.
Absolutely. Now, one of the questions, I mean, on Channel 9, you know, our audience has seen conversations with Bertrand Meyer, right? I mean, Eiffel.
Yep.
You think of Eiffel, you think of contract orientation. Mm-hmm. So the question I would ask is, what led to sort of going this route as opposed to just adding this kind of functionality right into the language? I know you aren't language designers, right? At least not C#. You are, of course, but I'm talking about...
I was, yeah.
obviously. But my question sort of is, you know, this clearly has evolved. It's on Dev Labs. People can download it, play with it, which is awesome. And can we talk a little bit about, like, the history of this technology and how it's gotten to this point where it's now a library model? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that a little bit? Not a language?
Sure. So the idea of modeling, like we do in Spec Explorer, actually dates back to the 90s, I would say to the middle of the 90s. And there have been various specification languages around. So one is what I mentioned already, abstract state machines.
Yep.
Another one, it's a similar style, is a Z language. It's called just Z. Mm. It's used heavily
in English.
In the UK.
Okay.
But everybody pronounces it Z because it comes from the UK.
Z, okay.
Yeah. And the problem with these notations, to bring them into mainstream, they have been applied actually to, for example, Z has been applied I think to model parts of the London subway in a real production context. But this kind of notations are just a little bit too mathematical for users.
Sure.
And so they use, you know, all the symbols from mathematics like quantifiers, etc., and so on. Mm. And so the history, which if you look back and how this moved forward, was basically when we bring this to practice, we try to make the stuff more accessible and remove the sometimes a little bit esoteric mathematical backgrounds which are with that. That was one part. The other thing, these techniques were known for quite some time, but they were not good integrated into common tools like Visual Studio mm-hmm. and the mainstream tools. So the tool support was not there. And that was the other part which we increased and improved over the years. No? Mm-hmm. And the third thing, I think that's very important for the newest version of Spec Explorer, the technology of model-based testing has some inherent problems called state explosions.
Yes.
Everybody
state
who uses
explosion.
That,
yes, that's what killed the first two versions.
We have the states, as I saw it, and the states are updated by model rules, but it can be actually a huge amount, number of states, or even infinite in theory, if you have collection types in your state description. How do you deal with that? And Spec Explorer has made some innovations to that end in the newest version, where you are able to define test purposes and scenarios in a like regular expression style notation, and combine them with your C-sharp program to slice, that we call it slice out of this huge state space, the stuff you're actually interested in, either for testing or for visualization.
And that last part, this scripting language called CORD in Spec Explorer, is really, I think, what lets it take off. I've been using the previous two versions as well in my various projects, but the problem from a test perspective, and it's always been a problem in testing is infinite. And part of testing is choosing values and which sequences and which things to do and not to do. Mm. So you build a general model that can handle everything, and it will run forever because it's a general model. What the tester brings to all this is using CORD now, they can specify various values to restrict it to, I'll try these set of values, etc. And it becomes a tractable problem, something you can actually do in finite time. Mm. And also, they even added information that other testers have used in other technologies for what's called pairwise combinations, which is an intelligent way to do lots of combinations while not doing all combinations. And that merged with the regular expression language for describing sequences and scenarios that you want to do really makes it simple for many testers in the world to approach this and be able to handle it. Mm-hmm. In fact, the testers on 300 projects that we did were basically, on average, 42% more productive doing it with this new style than they were doing it traditionally. And it's from not only having this new model engine, which has been around for a long time, but giving them the control that was so key that wasn't there before.
Excellent.
Now part of Visual Studio.
And so CORD sounds to me as sort of a domain-specific scripting language.
Exactly.
It's targeted specifically at this.
Yes.
One question I would ask is, stepping up just a little bit, it seems though the problem isn't solved, the general problem. This is just we're making steps.
Yeah.
At trying to, so essentially, Wolfram and people like yourself, and as well as you over there, MSR, you need to have a PhD to figure out how to do things. That's probably one of the reasons why functional programming hasn't taken off, even though it's a beautiful way of expressing things, especially in today's concurrent world. So your attempt here is to make it like digestible and easy,
right,
and productive for developers who are used to our productivity suite. But it's not the end of the game, right? This is a dev labs iteration. You're going to get feedback.
Absolutely. So we are seeking for feedback on various ends of the tool. So the one thing is, do this approach actually works for everybody. So we know it works for people which were instructed inside of Microsoft to apply it. And we also have a couple of things ongoing, features which we would like to add, but we are not so sure whether people really want them and how to prioritize them. So one feature is, we have always had the request, can't I model in UML? No? So UML is also a modeling language. Mm-hmm. And in fact, our architecture of our tool is designed to be multi-paradigmatic, so it can use various inputs. Mm. So we could take UML and translate it into our internal representation, and then you would have a UML model maybe combined with a C-sharp model.
Excellent.
We don't know how important that is for users. No? Another area is what we call symbolic representation of test suites. We actually use symbolic and constraint-solving techniques internally in the tool, but they are not visible to the user right now, so we hide it. It's just an implementation technique, so we would like to understand whether that is a feature which users want to have.
And that would be a typical example of a feature where it's not obvious that your normal person is going to deal with symbolic evaluation. Right. That's usually a kind of higher-level mathematical concept, which there, certain people really love, but many just common people don't get. Mm. And they have a hard time using features like that sometimes. So that's why we're going to see if we can present it in a way that makes it usable to every person and not just a few.
Excellent. Now, speaking of that, we keep saying C#. However, if this is a library implementation on top of the CLR,
it's just .NET.
It's just .NET. But of course, that leaves out probably most programmers in the world who are native. One could argue, at least targeting our platform. What about the native people? Are there plans to give them some tools? This is a random question. I think it's fair. There's a lot of them.
Right.
Yeah. So you can actually test native software with Spec Explorer. It's not the case that you couldn't do. It's only in the model world where you have to use the managed representation. Uh-huh. And how you would do that is you define a test adapter, which is mapping from the managed world to C++, which is fortunately very, very possible in Unreal Visual Studio.
Yeah, I want to keep that distinction. You have to write in C# your model, but the thing you're testing could be anything. In fact, our protocols are testing against Linux, we're testing against Apple, we're testing whether it's native or not, makes absolutely no difference. And in fact, we have tools that help us do a lot of protocol testing of native protocols in Microsoft, like all the RPC protocols people think of as native. Mm. We have a tool that just builds a simple mapping in C#, so you do all your coding in C#, but the calls all go down to RPC, which is native, and then test something native.
Perfect. Good. So, Niners, download this stuff and play with it, and we'll hopefully get a lot of feedback back to you guys. Mm-hmm. You mentioned some of the features you're thinking of. Finally, like, what are some of, in this space, what are some of the big problems that you're still kind of going, spending your time thinking about that, you know?
Yeah, so it is certainly what I mentioned before, this symbolic exploration or symbolic representation of the exploration result at the test suite. That's just like kind of the holy grail. Hmm. Of the model-based testing technology. What we want to do is, with this kind of stuff, something similar which is happening in PEX, for example, where you minimize the amount of information the user needs to tell the tool, and the tool does anyway what he is expecting. No? Mm. And the key to that is doing things in a constraint-based symbolic world, no, where you do a symbolic evaluation or analysis of the model. And so that's we have some solutions for that, but we have some kind of they're very better say alpha than the rest of the tool, and we would like to push that forward. Yeah,
excellent.
Yeah, I think we're still working on just how to make it friendly. Still, we have some ideas, but like as you said, the reason it's out in dev labs is like UI actually makes a big difference to people's productivity. So we're looking for feedback on things like how can we make it more productive for people with the UI and other aspects.
Excellent. Well, maybe we'll get the Channel 9 team to start playing around with this.
That'd be great.
Right on, you guys. Great to meet you and great work. And I like the connection between you and Eric and Wolfram. And you come from MSR yourself?
Yeah, right? I actually worked on SpecSharp before.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
And test architect. So
I'm just a user. I actually try to be that bridge between those weird advanced things that MSR does and help the product teams use it.
Outstanding. Well, hey, great job, you guys, and thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you.